Well, Christmas season is now past. The celebration of Epiphany happened just a couple of days ago, so happy Epiphany to you. But things are moving quickly, kind of like an old Rudolph show I remember watching when I was a kid. You've all seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on television, right? The stop-motion animation Rudolph, I'm cute, and all of that. And all the reindeer loved him. Well, do you remember the other Rudolph show, Rudolph's Shiny New Year? This is the one when I was a kid, I saw it, I couldn't figure out what the deal was. There was Baby New Year, this cute little baby with a top hat on, and then there was Old Man Year. And I thought to myself, how'd that guy get so old in 1 year? It probably was the second year that I saw it that I realized, oh, he represents how the year goes by, etc., etc. Well, I got to thinking as I was reading the texts for today, today is the Baptism of Christ Sunday, that it's amazing how in the Gospels that same baby New Year thing seems to happen. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke begin with baby Jesus, but it's not long, just a turn of the page or so, before we have grown-up Jesus being baptized and entering into his ministry. Sometimes I wonder at that. Luke takes a short stop at Jesus' presentation in the temple when he's just a few days old, and then when he's 12 years old, he's back in the temple again. But Matthew goes straight from the trip to Egypt right into Jesus being baptized and moving into the wilderness. Is it that 8-year-old Jesus isn't very important to the story? Was there something about 19-year-old Jesus that we don't need to learn about? What's the matter with 26-year-old Jesus? Why do we go immediately to the baptism of Jesus and the beginning of his ministry? I think it's important for us to understand that as wonderful, as God-ordained, as beautiful as the birth of the baby Jesus is, they find their meaning, it finds its meaning, in the ministry and life that Jesus lived. A ministry that is defined by God's call to Jesus and by God's claiming of Jesus. So at Jesus' baptism, God claims Jesus, this is my beloved child. And the writers of Matthew and Luke and the early Christians looked back to the Isaiah passage that we read for this morning, understanding that Jesus is God's chosen servant. Why in the church calendar and in the Gospels does the baby Jesus grow up so fast? Because the demands in the world for servants of God and for servants who act on behalf of God's justice is so real and strong. So, baby Christians, we also have to grow up fast. When we're baptized, when we receive an affirmation of God's grace in our lives and we make commitments to following Jesus, we immediately begin our lives of serving the world. We are called to serve just as Jesus came as servant. As we read the text of Isaiah for this morning, there are some interesting and important points. One is that justice, God's justice, is the key to the service to which Jesus is called. We hear justice in the world today. Sometimes we think about our system of jurisprudence. Sometimes when we hear justice, we think guilty or innocent. We think arrest, trial, and jail. Sometimes we think laws, ordinances, prohibitions. But the First Testament and the New Testament, when they talk about justice, God's justice, they're talking about something more, something deeper, something different than that sense of jurisprudence that often comes to my mind here in North America in the 21st century when I hear the word justice. What the Bible is talking about when it talks of justice is that way in which God's hope and design for the world is being restored through God's people as God's Spirit moves through them. Restorative justice. God made a covenant with Abraham that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. When God's justice is done, all the families of the earth have access to blessing. When God's servants, followers of Jesus, those of us gathered here, participate in serving God and following Christ and enacting that justice, we are those who are working to make sure that all families, not just some, all receive and know and enjoy blessing. For that reason, when we gather at this table, we serve God by participating in this meal, and we serve God by making sure that no one is excluded from this meal. God's blessing is for all. God's servant Jesus came that he might enact that, that we might know that, and that we might participate as fellow servants, as partners on the journey. The Isaiah text for this morning talks about light as well. Justice and light seem to have something to do with one another. Where there's darkness, where there's imprisonment, where there's poverty, where there's hunger, where there's strife, light can make a difference. Light can make a difference in a number of ways. Sometimes light shines upon a situation and reminds us that things aren't exactly the way that we thought they were. Light brings stuff out into the open. Light says, there's a problem here, you need to look at it. Light says, something's happening here. You need to be aware. Light can also be a guide, can help us to understand the path on which we walk. It can guide people to their destination and help them to avoid the pitfalls that might be inherent in their journey. Light shows forth the problems. Light guides forth those who journey. As we think about being servants of Jesus Christ today, we're asked not only to follow light, but to participate in being light, to point to those dark places where there are problems, where there's imprisonment, where there's impoverishment, where there is discrimination, where there is hate, to shine that light, to cry out for justice. We're also called to be light to others, that their journey might be a faithful and a fruitful one, and to see and know the light for ourselves. The thing about light, though, is it's kind of like Baby New Year. We get focused on it for ourselves, and we don't sometimes look at the big picture. Sometimes we worry about light only if it's illuminating our own lives, and we forget that we are called to be light, we're called to share light, and that light is important for others. I think, though, we didn't see it. Shaw showed the children this morning a picture of a lighthouse, and that reminded me that when Danny, my middle son, was younger, he did a lighthouse project for school. We were living in Southern Africa at the time, and Danny and his friend Megan were doing a lighthouse project, and we decided we were going to go all in on this lighthouse project. So I worked with the kids, and we made a model of a lighthouse, and we looked online, and we found lighthouses that were nearby, 6 or 7 hours drive, and we found one that looked just fantastic. It was the North Sand Bluff Lighthouse on the Indian Ocean, south of Durban, South Africa. And we worked together and we made a working model of that lighthouse, and we learned all about the beautiful lenses, and we even booked a trip to the lighthouse, and we went with the children to the lighthouse, and lo and behold, they had a deal where you could actually stay at the lighthouse. And we did. We got a tour of the lighthouse. We got to go up inside the lighthouse. We got to learn about its history. And that night, as the lighthouse began shining into the Indian Ocean so that the huge ocean liners filled with cars and freight of all kinds would not be wrecked on the blocks and on the rocks and in all of the things that could damage, we were at the bottom of the lighthouse in a little kitchen cooking our supper. And as we were cooking our supper, the children were talking and playing, and Susan was frying up some food, and I was getting out the silverware, and you could see outside the light going back and forth and round and round. And then Susan turned on another appliance, and darkness. We thought to ourselves, well, shoot, this is going to ruin our vacation. We don't even know where candles are. If we can't finish our supper without electricity, what? And then we realized, oh my God, the light's not shining outside the window anymore. And we looked out, and sure enough, the lighthouse wasn't working. It took us a minute, thank God only a minute, to realize that our problem, our lack of light, was a much bigger problem. Now, before long, the light was restored to the lighthouse and to our kitchen, and everything was fine. As far as I know, no ships wrecked in those couple of moments. But what I noticed about that was, when there's an absence of light in our own lives, the first thing we think about is ourselves. And sometimes we need to be reminded that the light that guides us, that the light that illumines our path, that the light that shines forth on injustices around us, is important and necessary light for the rest of the world as well. And we are called to be bearers of that light. It's impossible for us to come to this table and to break this bread and think only about ourselves, because our host, Jesus, God's servant, God's anointed, God's beloved, baptized child, invites us here not only to participate as individuals, but to call us into a ministry of service in the world for God's justice. We come here called as disciples, claimed and named as servants, and sent into the world to act for justice, to be light, so that those along the coast will see, so that the lamp never goes out. And another important piece is this: being and understanding and receiving God's light requires great humility and awareness. While we go forth from this place bearing the light of God's justice from this table, we need to be aware we will encounter God's light in the faces, lives, and deeds of other people whom we meet. They won't always look like us. They won't always speak like us. They might be people we're seeing and meeting and hearing for the very first time, but they too, in their way, might be bearing forth to us light that we need desperately. So as we move forward into the world as Christian people this year, as we grow from baby New Year people to old person Old Year people, let us remember that our baptism calls us to lives as servants bearing forth light into the world and seeing that light in others, sharing with them and receiving from them the vision of God's justice, a restorative justice that opens prisons, doesn't reinforce them, that feeds the hungry, doesn't deny them, that reaches out to the poor, does not ignore them, that acknowledges, loves, and cares for neighbor, does not distance itself from them. I'm getting ready to go on a big trip. I'm very excited. I've never been to India before. I'm looking forward to what might happen as I travel. And I'm reminding myself each and every day to have my eyes wide open for the light that the people I meet there are shining into the world. And I'm reminding myself each and every day prayerfully to have my heart open, to remember that God calls me and each of us to be servants of restorative justice, just like God's servant, our beloved Savior, Jesus, born as a baby, grown into a servant of God, baptized and moved by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested, to be tried, and then called disciples. And said to them and to the rest of the world, God's reign is at hand. God is at work in the world. Something is happening. You are invited to be a part of it. Come, follow, go, serve, be light, work for God's restorative justice. Amen.